again. This is part 3 of chapter 4 of Romans. And for those of you that have stuck with me so far through these, I appreciate it. I appreciate your feedback. And certainly let the church know, or any of the pastors, let me know if you see me in church, and I'll continue to try to do the best I can to bring information to you that's helpful and enlightening. So this is part 3, which is justification is the result. So let's look at verse 13 through 17 in Romans 4. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs of faith, then faith is null and void because we cannot obey the law. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. So we have the laws stated in the Old Testament. We think of the Ten Commandments, and these are wonderful and given to us by God, but we cannot perfectly obey them. The Jewish people could not, and you and I cannot. What they did do is define sin. They pointed out to us where we're off track and made it clear to us where we should be working to become more and more like Christ as we try to obey him. But we can't do it perfectly. That leaves us in a difficult situation. So verse 16 says, that is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, not only to the Jew, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, and that's you and I, who is the father of all. Abraham is the father of all, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is a God who has amazing capability, gives life to the dead, and calls into existence, creates with a word things that do not exist. He has the capability of doing that, and he would be happy to do that with you as well as he tries to help you understand the meaning of justification. So now we come to the point of dealing with the law. This means the 10 laws given to Moses in Exodus 20, long after Abraham's time. The law is given to clarify or define sin, to help us understand. We might define sin as missing the target. We try our best to hit the bullseye every time, but we cannot. We have 10 laws to obey, and if we fail to fully comply, we have sinned. To make matters worse, if we disobey one law, we have disobeyed them all, with no way to go back and correct the problem. Wait a minute. Is this fair? I can't be perfect. You are right. You can't be perfect, and he knows it. I can't be perfect, and he knows it. So God is both perfectly loving and perfectly just, both at the same time, all the time. Now we see a wonderful truth in verse 16, and let's look at verse 16 again. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace, God's unmerited favor, his happy face, his pardon, if you will. Grace and mercy are related. And be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham. There's a wonderful truth in verse 16, which both shows his love and satisfies his justice. This is called grace. The law's job is to show our inadequacies. Grace's job is to give us hope. So let's define grace. For me, the best definition is God's unmerited favor. His blessing to us that we do not deserve, his happy face, if you will, that we do not deserve. It's unmerited because we can't work for it, and we can't be good enough, and we don't deserve it. You would like some of this grace? He wants to give it to you. It's yours when you believe him and trust in what Christ did for you, by faith. His creative power can create life and righteousness or goodness in you. He can declare righteous those that are not. Faith alone in Christ alone is the key to that declaration of righteousness to you, even though you are not of yourself. So, Father, what a blessing it is to know that we're forgiven, that we can be made righteous, and we can be made acceptable, so that at your judgment seat, when that time comes for us, we know that we do not deserve your blessing, but yet you recognize the righteousness you have given to us, and your Holy Spirit that's given to us and lives and dwells us, lives in our lives and through our lives. What a blessing that is to know, Father, that that's true, to walk in that truth, and to trust it even as our life approaches its end. For we love you and desire to serve you in any way that we can because of the love you've shown us, even though we don't deserve it. I thank you for that in Jesus' name.